There's a word for it when they go to like record in a church.
Oh, right. Yeah. Acoustics?
Yes. This room has nice acoustics.
Yeah, sure.
Just enough reverb.
Maybe you should like start being an opera singer or something. It's a nice career, I guess.
Okay.
Wow.
Beautiful?
Yeah. It's very, very nice. Vacation, right?
You're going to go on vacation. I don't know if you want to talk about that. Or do you mean our taken vacation?
No, we haven't taken vacation. We were
starfishing on the bed.
Yeah, I was like thinking about like passing life, but
yes,
I don't know,
life passing us.
Wow.
Yes. How about that? Okay, let's not get depressed.
Yeah, I mean there was a little bit of vacationing, right? Was I on vacation? Yeah, I was on vacation.
I was in Iceland.
You were also on vacation. Yeah. So yeah, there was vacation. Come on.
We were on vacation.
Yeah, I mean, not together or at the same time, but...
I wish it was.
Bro.
Yeah. Hold my clammy little hands.
No, please, no. No, I don't want a clammy hands. I already have clammy hands. So yeah, I don't know. Vacation, life, another recording area, how do you call that?
But most importantly, we're back.
Yes, that's all that matters, right?
I think so. For this podcast to continue, we have to be back to record.
It doesn't happen by itself.
No, I mean, it does not.
Eventually, we will upload our consciousness into AI and then it will just
generate. What do you mean, consciousness? We just upload our voices. We already have separate tracks.
No, but they need like our shitty mindset too.
No, I can just program that because...
No, you can program it. It's too unique and weird.
But it's not advanced at all, though.
No, it's not. No, I know.
So
I
mean, it's probably possible.
You could probably use a calculator to process it, but...
I can use my microwave.
Oh, yeah. Nice. Microwave.
Microwave.
Wave?
Magnetron.
Wow. Transformer jokes, I guess?
Why? It's a Dutch word for microwave. Magnetron.
All right, so we are we're back. We are Errorcode Coffee.
We are Errorcode
Coffee. Yes.
Yes.
The entity known as Errorcode Coffee.
This guy is called Gideon.
Yes, I am. And that guy is called, what's your name again? I don't remember.
I don't know. Some people call me Doopting.
Like after, I don't know, 10 years or something like that.
Only 10 years? No, you've known me for longer.
Do I?
Yeah.
I don't know.
At least like 2011 or 2012. So 11 years.
I think your name is something like Tada.
Tada!
That's it. Burtada. There you go. That's your name.
There you go. Well done.
I remember.
You've accessed the
part of my brain.
Yes. The recesses that are like dank and...
Yeah, it's like... Cobwebs, yeah. Spiderwebs, I wanted to say, but...
Cobwebs and silverfish like crawling out.
Oh, God, there's so much skin. It's just...
What's happening?
I don't know.
Oh, it's a Halloween season, that's why.
It's spooky.
Spooky, yes.
Cobwebs and skin tags.
Finding like a dark hole in the brain of an amnesiac. That's pretty spooky.
It's pretty spooky.
Now, that should be a short story. We should do that in an episode. Short stories with... Yeah, good coffee.
I have a horror game idea, but
oh,
yeah, I know. It's just
you too.
who doesn't, right? But it's pretty simple though, so that's nice, I guess. But I opened Unreal Engine, and I was like, well,
well, it's not that simple.
No, I was like, well, maybe not. If I have a lot of spare time, I guess. But I should have spare time, but I don't. So
okay,
you know how it goes.
Maybe that's a thing for the next year.
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah, sure, for next year.
You know what else? I like.
What makes you depressed?
No, yes, actually, yeah. It does. The thing is that I feel like in other parts of my recessed mind.
Uh-huh, in the dank.
Yes.
The dank memory place.
This is a dank attic.
Yeah.
There is something called Agile Scrum.
Oh God, this is a horror Halloween episode.
Dun, dun, dun.
Oh, lightning. Yeah, that's the Scrum Master howling.
What about all the people working on the project?
They are the skeletons, I guess.
And the client also howling. But Agile Scrum.
Yeah.
We want to talk about that today.
We've already talked about that a lot in the past. I mean, we don't like request or like, how do you call it, require our listeners to go back to our past episodes and try to find it.
No.
I have no idea which episodes we talked about it, but we
sprinkled it.
Yeah, we sprinkled some like poop everywhere. So
yeah, because talking about poop, this is bullshit.
Yes.
But honestly, like the topic Agile Scrum is something that is very extensive. Like you can talk so much about it and still have more to talk about.
Yeah, I think like every developer or almost every developer will recognize a few of our complaints about Agile and Scrum. I do hope there are also some developers that are like, hey, you know, for me it works always.
I honestly want to hear, I can't really imagine.
Same. So let's hear from you, few developers who are happy to use Agile and Scrum.
Yeah, if you've used Agile Scrum and used anything else, I would also like to know, like, is it better than anything you've tried before, or is it the only thing you've ever worked with?
Yeah, it also depends on our age group, I guess, because I think if you're like a pretty young developer right now, you probably get sucked into Agile and it's the only way or the only thing you've learned to use. So
possibly, yeah. It's very hip, right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, still, in the earlier days, we used to just waterfall for everything. So
I don't think it even had a name.
No, exactly. I mean, afterwards, they called it waterfall, but that's, you know, that's what it was.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, so today's going to be another complaint episode. We're going to be complaining about the methodology of Agile and Scrum. Yeah, we don't love it. We kind of hate it.
We have a lot of experience with it, and most of it is not positive. So
yeah, and I think the remarks we have are not only negative. We would like to find, like, I would like to make it work.
Yeah, we're not just going to complain about it. It's just we also have a few, you know, things that we think might fix a lot of issues we've encountered in the past. So
stay tuned, because we're gonna give you like some pointers. Maybe if you recognize some of the issues we also experienced, you might be like, okay, so what is the solution then? Well, you might want to stay listening.
Yeah, maybe get your manager on this podcast. Like,
yeah, but skip the first few minutes.
Oh yeah, that's probably, you know, for the best. I've had a problem before, to be honest, but let's continue. Like, I try to let people listen to our podcast, and it's like the first few minutes are always weird, and they're like, oh, this is a nice podcast.
Wow, you guys are very creative.
Yeah, I will listen to it in my private time. No, it's fine, you know.
I don't doubt it.
Yeah, well, you know, that's what it is. I mean, that's probably also why some people are listening, right? Because they like the
banter.
The two goofballs as... Oh, don't... Whoa.
Damn.
Two goofballs that is us too.
Yes.
So let's work our way down this list of Agile Scrum bullshit.
Complaints.
Yeah. You want to start? Should I start?
I would like to start with this one.
All right, go ahead.
No, I would like you to start.
Oh, okay. So I think we're going to touch on a few things and then try to, you know, give our opinion on it. For me, at least, one of the big issues is that a lot of times important features are not the highest priority. And especially bigger features are always getting pushed back, because when you start a new project and you are starting, you know, to estimate and try to create sprints with, you know, the tasks that has to be done, a lot of product owners and Scrum Masters always pick the easiest ones, you know, just the small tasks and not necessarily also the important features. And I get that, because they want to like deliver as much as possible as early on in the project, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what a lot of times happens is that after like one or two or even more sprints, there's still nothing really impressive made.
Yeah, not a substantial progress to the functionality of the product.
Yeah, so there is something made, I guess, but it's a lot of times it's just like, well, we made like the basic styling of this few, you know, this page or this application.
Like, it's going to be really nice once we get all the walls and the ceiling and the floor. And yeah.
But at least we have a couch.
It's floating right now.
Just, you know, but you can see all the couch.
You can see all the steel scaffolding of the building.
Yeah. So I think that's, for me at least, is one of the bigger issues that happens a lot. And I think it's a pretty easy fix. I think bigger features, or like most important features, should be on the top of the list always. And I mean, I kind of get why what happens a lot is that they get pushed back. It's because, you know, you need a foundation for your application, for example, like base styling and navigation and stuff like that. And
sure,
that's not important, the most important feature, right?
It has also arguably the least risks.
Yeah.
So it's something that I feel like is also a combination. So when you're launching a product, you want it to be around the base functionality of the product. So you're actually identifying what makes your product work.
Yeah.
Right. Navigation and buttons, they will work regardless.
Yeah.
The thing that you want to tackle and you wanna basically market, you want to use marketing to, you know, sell your product. What are you going to market? You're not going to market navigation and buttons. You're going to market the feature that is the most important. And it also is the highest risk, because if that has issues or it doesn't exactly work as you expect, it will, you know,
fail. Yeah, but that's the problem, because it is the most important, but it's something you always start with too late, or like really late in the process, right?
Yeah, I think like so far the experiences we've had is always we need a foundation, as you said.
Yeah.
And the projects always start with, let's start with the basics. So something we can show in the first week or two.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of times you can't work on the scaffolding, the foundation, and also work out a big feature of the product.
Yeah, I don't know. Like
that's like, I think why we usually skip the first few sprints, because we need all those basic materials or basic ingredients for the...
But I think you can work on those important features even if you don't have like a base, right? Because
definitely.
You know, what happens a lot is that like the styling gets done, for example, or like the basics of navigating a website gets done. But like, let's just say the most important feature is showing a list of items, for example.
Sure.
You should be able to build that without any of the basics already.
100%. I do believe that, like, the way that a lot of times I think what managers want to show the clients is something tangible.
Yeah.
Something that looks...
Yes, exactly. Like, especially something that looks nice, right?
Yeah, something that looks finished.
Yeah.
So if you finish a feature that looks unfinished because it doesn't have the styling that is in a separate ticket, you know, the styling is not the same ticket as, I don't know, like doing a complex search algorithm.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need any styling for that. Just a simple list of like text.
It should function. That's all.
Yeah. Like an input field, a button for pressing search.
Yeah.
And a result that's like basic ULs.
Yeah,
like,
everything can be unstyled, just you know.
just lists.
Yeah.
I don't know, like to me, I wouldn't mind starting that way. I think I would put basic styling, you know, like I don't want Times New Roman.
Yeah, exactly. Like you can, but that also takes not a lot of time, you know, those really small basic.
That's just
stuff.
A reset of CSS.
You can even like reuse something you've built before for that.
Exactly. It's just,
Indeed, but what happens a lot of times is that like the whole styling gets done in the few first sprints, or like the first two sprints, I guess.
Yeah.
And then what I've also seen happen before is that the design doesn't work well with like the feature that it's, you know, because the design gets made based on what they think the feature will, you know, work or will look like.
Exactly.
And then you build the feature and it's like, well, technically it doesn't work as well as we thought it would when we were designing.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have to change the design again, and then also change the whole styling again. So I think building those important features first and make sure that they do work without any design, I think that's also a nice, you know, how do you call it? Like, it shows that if the feature works even without any styling, that is a good feature, you know, that
exactly
it works, even without good design, it should work.
I agree with that. You're prototyping the product.
Yeah.
And for a prototype, you don't need a finished stylized look.
Yeah.
For the product.
And I think that's the main selling point for Agile Scrum is that you can build something from scratch and iterate and try to improve it and like try to find the right thing for it.
Yeah.
And by designing beforehand, you know, you kind of shoot yourself in the foot.
Yeah, that is definitely true. I think there's a combination, right? Like you can either design the whole app, the whole experience before you start writing any code.
Yeah.
Or you could do a little bit for the tickets you're picking up that sprint. Mm-hmm. You can start designing for those tickets specifically, iterate with your development team, and then work that out. And a lot of times you'll end up with something kind of janky.
Yeah.
It won't be sleek looking, and you might not even be able to host it or something. It's just like working on the client side.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like on one hand, I would say that is probably a safer way to start and something that you can also use as a testament to as a testament to how it should be working.
Yeah.
You know, like it is a proof of concept.
Exactly.
I think maybe Agile Scrum is something that is just misused because it might be like just iterating over proofs of concepts. Proof of concepts.
Yeah. Yeah, not proofs. Proof of concepts. Yeah.
Yes. Maybe it's more like you can use it that way, but we'll touch on this later. I think a lot of times Agile Scrum gets used in the wrong context.
Yeah.
Like the projects aren't really suitable for Agile Scrum.
Yeah.
That will lead to situations where the client wants the whole experience to be fleshed out and designed beforehand before they can agree with the project.
Yeah, they want security. So, yeah.
Parallel to this is the risk, you know, like anything that is high risk, it might have been mentioned, you know, like even mentioning that there is a high risk associated with a certain ticket, it doesn't mean that the risk is automatically managed.
Yeah.
The process of Agile Scrum doesn't manage your risk. It can expose it. It can like make it clear that there is a risk. And you can also be pretty certain that something with a lot of points comes with a lot of risk.
Yeah.
And I think that's a really nice aspect of Agile Scrum where you can actually very easily notice, oh, this is probably like scary stuff.
Yeah.
The developers have to like do a lot of research, or we need to like design this feature really well because that's what everything is based around. And I think often, like in my experience, often people believe in the myth that there is no need to manage risk with Scrum, or risk is waterfall. So like if we are using Agile, right? So we do Scrum, and so there is no risk because the process is eliminating risk.
Yeah.
Using Scrum methodology will eliminate risk. That's not the case at all. There's still risk involved and you still need to like tackle it manually.
I think like it also gives a false sense of security. And yes. I think that's a trap a lot of people fall into.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I looked up like what scrum.org says about this. And one thing they mentioned was that I think like that's the wrong way of thinking. And this is why I think a lot of people who work with Scrum and aren't Scrum masters themselves think that there is no manual risk management needed anymore.
Yeah.
Is that in kind of the guide/handbook, it's constantly trying to push Scrum masters to make the decision if it's a necessary thing to spend time on. So like you have to constantly measure the risk of something, sure, but then it asks you, is it important enough to spend time on?
Yeah.
Is it something you want to spend time on with your team?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's like the wrong mindset because you will very quickly just say, okay, this is a ticket that we're going to do in a later sprint. We will not think about it right now. We'll just postpone this risk management situation for this ticket. And another thing is if something has low risk and the possibility is very low,
mm-hmm.
it doesn't mean that it can't happen.
Yeah.
So what do you do if it happens? You have to have a like a contingency plan or a plan to fall back on.
Yeah.
And I think that also gets omitted a lot of times, like the fact that something with low risk doesn't mean there is no risk.
Yeah.
And it could still happen.
Yeah, it also falls a bit into the feature mm-hmm. thing, right?
Exactly.
Like scary features or scary or risks, I guess, mm-hmm. they get pushed away or overlooked a lot mm-hmm. in this way of working.
I think it's like a parallel thing.
Yeah.
Where bigger features, more points equal more risk. That's a natural thing a lot of times.
Yeah.
And they both suffer from the same mindset.
Yeah.
But I think risk management is even worse. Mm. Like it suffers a worse fate. It just completely gets ignored until something bad happens.
Yeah, until it's too late.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I would say like I follow these steps on scrum.org, but I omitted the fact that you have to kill your darlings early on.
Mm-hmm.
I think thinking about if something is important enough or can happen at all, it's not something you should take into consideration if you're already addressing it. Like if you notice like this is a big ticket and I notice that there are possibly these risks,
mm-hmm.
you shouldn't start eliminating these risks by just saying, yeah, the chance is pretty low.
Yeah.
Instead, you should definitely write them down, like make a list of all the risks
mm-hmm.
and then you can categorize them. That's probably very important. Is a risk associated with the business side of things?
Mm.
Is it a technology side of things? Is it like, you know, something that will happen because you've made a decision very early on in the project, and the more you continue the project, the more you will notice, oh crap, this isn't really working.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like as a seasoned software developer, you will notice that there are some tickets that you can't completely figure out at first, and only once you put them in the project, like once you incorporate them in the project, you'll see that it might not even work.
Yeah.
And that's a risk. And like a lead developer will point that out.
Yeah.
And so it will probably be like, yeah, so the business side of things will not be affected directly. It's a technology issue, but it will affect the business if we have to change tracks, if we have to change the course of this feature.
Yeah.
And it might not look the same anymore. So what will that do to business?
Yeah.
So like write all that shit down.
Well, I think you should write it down anyway, because you know what happens also is that if you don't write them down, you'll forget, of course, and then later on they might just reappear again, and then you're like, oh, what is this? And while you already knew that it would happen.
Don't forget that like different people have different perspectives on things.
Yeah.
I think a lead developer is very important in this risk management situation, but a scrum master, they might have a risk associated with management.
Yeah.
Like, how do you manage the project?
Yeah.
In the end, you want to make strategies. You want to make strategies of how to tackle these risks, how to incorporate them in the project as well. You have to think about it this way. Like, if you write it down, what is the probability of this happening?
Mm-hmm.
Right? If it's like above 75%, you should definitely have some time, maybe increase the points for that ticket and write down.
Not even the points necessarily, but like the priority of that ticket. Yeah.
And I would even argue that you should probably make a separate ticket at the start of each sprint to check the risk of all the tickets involved. Yeah. And do the risk management with your team.
Yeah, and decide, do we want to pick up a new ticket or do we want to, you know, try and fix this risk we encountered or found?
And it also looks kind of like refinement.
Mm-hmm.
This is like refinement on the project management level.
Yeah.
Something that a scrum master would probably be on top of.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of times when you're working with a small project, the scrum master also doesn't have all the information.
Yeah.
You need the lead developer, you need the designer, you need the scrum master all involved to make decisions about risk.
Yeah.
So
I mean, they also all bring like different views on the issue. So
yeah. So, you know, I think tangentially, I think that's the word, it's very important to just not forget about risk.
Yeah.
When you're dealing with especially bigger tickets.
Mm-hmm.
the risk side of the whole ticket should be mentioned and should also be looked at.
Yep.
I think that gets just ignored 9 out of 10 times until shit hits the fan.
Yeah, like ignored on purpose, or like not even, you mm-hmm. know, it doesn't even get detected, I guess. Yeah. Not even mentioned in mm-hmm. any way.
And if it does get detected, it's the mindset that will eventually like give yeah. you the false sense of security.
Yeah.
By eliminating risks early on before they could even be like fleshed out and, yeah. And defined. By just saying, yeah, the chance of it happening, of something bad happening, is very low. I think it's the wrong mindset for this.
Yeah, it's a this thing. It's a pet peeve, I guess, mm-hmm. for me, that I've seen it happen a lot, is where companies, they react to problems instead of trying to, you know, yeah. be in front of it and try to, you know, figure out mm-hmm. how to solve it before it happens.
Yeah,
it's like, oh, there's an issue and now we have to figure it out. And then it's like, well, yeah, but you should already know that this would probably happen. Mm-hmm. And now you have to spend time from your project
exactly
trying to fix something. You know, it's yeah, it's a different mindset.
Mm-hmm.
I think the biggest thing, one of the most important roles in this whole thing is that the Scrum Master, right?
Yeah, if you're going to use this methodology.
Yeah.
You're going to need someone who has experience
mm-hmm.
or at least a lot of knowledge, and also a very assertive, proactive person.
Yeah. Yeah. It needs to be someone who is really on top of everything.
Mm-hmm.
Like it could be a project manager, I guess. It doesn't necessarily have to be a Scrum Master specifically, because a Scrum Master is a very specific job that
sure.
is necessary, I think, in bigger companies. There's also budget for that, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
But a lot of smaller companies, they have a project manager and that's it.
Mm.
And I think that's fine. But I think a project manager should, you know, manage the project.
If you're going to use Scrum, the project manager has to know Scrum.
Yeah.
And they have to be able to apply it correctly.
Yeah. They have to take charge of the whole project
yep.
and make sure that everything is going well. And that doesn't, you know, that does mean trying to, you know, fix issues beforehand or you know, give updates to the necessary people. Or I don't know. I think the big important thing for a Scrum Master or a project manager, I guess, is to remove impediments from the development team when necessary, or like it's always necessary, I guess. Mm-hmm. But they have to relieve the development team and they may make sure. Yep. that the development team can work on their job, you know, developing mm-hmm. something. and they should assist in any way possible. So if a developer is requesting, you know, more time or specific assets or whatever, more information about a feature, mm-hmm. or a Scrum Master or project manager should take that up and just immediately try to resolve it and pass it on to that development team.
Yeah.
So it shouldn't be the task of the development team to figure things out about the project.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. There's like Scrum has so many rituals.
Yeah.
Has so many steps you need to take as a team.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of it is, I would say, like the first few times I tried to join a team with Scrum, I think not only I was confused, the whole team was confused. Like,
yeah.
what exactly are the steps?
Yeah.
And what's the chronology? Like, what goes before what?
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like a lot of these questions stem from the fact that the project manager doesn't exactly know either. And the planning is
yeah.
a bit like left up to debate.
Well, also they don't use it properly. So that's also a source of confusion, right? A lot of times, because
yeah.
they're kind of like mixing stuff up and trying to make mm-hmm. things up on the fly too. So yeah.
like, I would say like, is there a different word for this? Because whenever I had a team with Scrum, it wasn't actually Scrum.
Hmm.
It was always like a combination.
Yeah.
It felt never like a pure Scrum methodology, work method.
Yeah.
That
yeah,
we used.
Same. Like it's almost like a weird mixture between like waterfall and agile Scrum.
Yeah.
So
Wagile.
Wagile. Yeah. It watery
yeah.
agile. It never works that way, because you are trying to pick, you're cherry picking mm-hmm. like parts from both and then try to mash them together and say, well, you know?
Yeah.
This should work, and it never does.
Maybe that also stems from the fact that Agile, like, again, like, I'm referring back to the point I made before that Scrum doesn't always get used in the right context. Mm-hmm. So we've had a lot of projects where, I don't know, they're done in like a month and a half.
Yeah.
And we use Agile, and we sold Agile to the client, mm-hmm. and the client wanted it to be done after a month and a half.
Yeah.
The client didn't want to have a maybe, or you might get half of the product.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like a combination of the client expecting a fully fledged, fully featured product,
yeah.
and us internally trying to do a point system that might not even like come to a full fruition of the product. You know, the product won't even be completely done at the end.
Yeah.
By our own estimates, but the client expects it.
Yeah.
Like, then you're starting to like mix a lot of methodologies, because if you set a certain deadline and a certain set of features that are done by that deadline, mm. I think you're going to have to use a different way of working,
yeah.
to make sure it finishes. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times it ends up being crunch, you know?
Yeah.
And crunch sounds like bad management.
Well, it doesn't sound like that. It's bad management.
Probably. But it's just, what I'm trying to say is the combination of the context of the project and the client expecting certain things to be done at a certain time, mm-hmm. and then us internally using Agile methodology and with the team, and then not having clear time estimates, mm. and just saying, yeah, it's done when it's done, you know?
Yeah.
It just doesn't work. We have expectations. We have deadlines. We can't just say, yeah, this point of 1 point might suddenly be worth 10 times more the next sprint. Mm-hmm. You can't say that to a client.
Yeah.
You can't sell that to a client. What I'm getting at is, like, I think the project manager or the scrum master is kind of forced to make really bad decisions,
yeah.
in certain situations. And it's not even exactly their fault. It's just the context of using that methodology.
Yeah.
And then also guaranteeing that the project is done, mm-hmm. at a certain time will lead to a lot of conflicts with the methodology.
Yeah. And I think what happens most times is that the client is the one who pays for it, you know? Mm-hmm. I think that's for also one of the bigger issues for me too, is that what happens is that a client gets told that, well, you know, we build these features, mm-hmm. but it's not what you wanted, because, you know, we are doing it in parts, and we pick the parts that are important or like required for us right now, mm-hmm. but that's not necessarily what the client wants right now.
Yeah. So, just sometimes we like Agile in the like traditional sense, I would say, kind of guarantees that you're always getting value, mm-hmm. and in every step of the process you're getting more value.
Yeah,
I think
that's the point, I guess, of it. Yeah,
I think in practice you sometimes get something like completely unfinished, mm-hmm. until the very end.
Yeah,
and the value is like untraceable in that product. That's also a thing. It's the client gets very, very you get on edge when you're a month and a half in the project, mm-hmm. and you're like thousands of dollars down the drain,
yeah.
and you don't notice, or you don't see anything tangible, you don't see anything that is actually worth the money.
Yeah.
So that's also a thing with Agile and Scrum. It's really hard to pin down exactly when you have created more worth. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times the client will only be happy and will only be accepting the product to be done at the end, when all the features are like that are guaranteed to
be. Yeah. Well, they go to you or like towards your company, mm-hmm. with, you know, a requirement, or like they want, I want this.
Exactly.
It's, I don't know, you can make weird analogies, I guess, but, you know, you're not going to a bakery and point at, well, I want that bread. And it's like, well, you get two slices now and then maybe, you know,
exactly,
more tomorrow. Mm-hmm. It doesn't work that way. They want something and you are not giving it because your way of working doesn't fit, mm-hmm. that.
Yeah. So I totally agree with the Scrum Master or the project manager's role is to remove impediments and like assist the team. I think it's just what I'm trying to get at is if I'm trying to be devil's advocate, I think a lot of times the project manager doesn't even have the solution anymore in a certain situation.
Yeah.
Because it's being applied incorrectly.
Yeah.
And different actors, different people in the process, in the project are being guaranteed different things.
Yeah.
And that's also a problem with Agile Scrum is everyone has to be on board. Everyone has to be accepting of the risks and the methods and the result in the end.
It's also like a thing that a lot of times there isn't a good product owner, right? So normally there should be one product owner who is like the one person who makes the decisions for the product, you know, who knows the product in and out and can say, well, we don't want this, we do want this, you know, make any hard decision that a Scrum Master or project manager shouldn't make because, you know, it's not necessarily their product.
True.
But a lot of times there is no product manager or there's a product manager or there are multiple product managers or there is a project manager who goes with everyone, you know, just... It's like
micromanaging.
So, yeah, but also so flexible with what they want that there's no like decision making in it. And then you also get like a whole flood of just too much. And try and finish a project with too much in it. That doesn't work.
I think we both have had our fill of all these kind of issues.
It's really interesting that like in like 10 years, like I've worked 15 years, but in 10 years using Scrum and Agile, I've never had a project finish on time. Never.
Yeah, that, I think that's the whole point of Scrum Agile.
I do believe that there might be, you know, people or projects or like maybe there's some really great teams that make it happen.
But
I don't really believe that you will finish in time, not without any crunch at least. And, you know, I've never worked for a company that does crunch like really hard.
True.
I've worked for companies that say, well, we're going to tell a client that we're going to push the deadline again, you know? So I've never finished something on time. It's kind of insane that, you know, for the client at least, it's always negative in a way.
100% agree. It's a weird world out there where most companies are using Agile Scrum and it actually... Like, I guess it's very comfortable for a lot of companies if they just, you know, in the contract state that they can adjust the release date or whatever.
Or the scope.
It's like, we don't guarantee anything.
Yeah.
It just, it makes everyone involved feel a bit bad when you don't release on time, when the client doesn't get what they want, when the project manager has to go and convince everyone that everything's under control, when the people working on it are overworked and they feel unsatisfied because they know that they are not working exactly what the client expects.
Yeah.
I just, in the end, I honestly feel like Scrum Agile is just not meant for agencies.
Scrum is scum.
Whoa. Scrum is scum.
Yeah.
What can you explain?
No,
it's okay. just it's just a wordplay.
Yeah, sorry.
Okay. I thought it was something significant.
No, scrummy. No, it's just
it sounds scummy.
Yeah, exactly.
Scrummy is scummy.
Scrum is scummy. Yeah, it sounds scummy. It's just I don't know. I think it can work again, but I think we should work towards that, I guess. But Scrum and Agile are not necessarily the problem. You know, there are tools that are a lot of times misused, and that's the problem.
I think that you hit the nail on the head.
So I really do believe it can work and it works, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it works for a product-driven development cycle or for a company.
What does that mean?
Well, just not an agency, you know, not like companies that have to like churn out projects every few months or like they get approached from a client by a client and they ask like, well, do you have... Can you finish this in 1 or 2 months? You know, that those are like fixed deadlines, and those agencies sell, you know, to those clients a lot of bullshit, and I think that's not okay.
Yeah, I think
I mean, it's also kind of interesting that they still get the project a lot of times, even after saying like, well...
Is it the same client though?
Yeah.
Who comes back?
Oh, yeah. Afterwards, you mean?
Yeah.
No, I don't know.
A lot of times I feel like it's just one-off.
Yeah, one-offs because it went wrong.
Or they just weren't satisfied with the result.
Yeah.
They're like, yeah, it was fine. It wasn't great. Like the collaboration felt really good because Agile Scrum, you know, you're like constantly talking with the client and involving everyone. But at the end, it's like, yeah, the product is actually half done. And they're like, okay, well, we spent all our budget.
Yeah.
So
great. And now we don't have anything.
Well, it's like partially done.
Yeah.
And if you launch that, you'll feel unsatisfied and the product owner is unhappy. So.
Well, especially if it's like something that replaces, you know, an older existing application, for example, like you
already has all the features necessary for the product to be working correctly.
Exactly. So maybe like it needs a design change or it needs new features. Mm-hmm. You can deliver, a project or an application with less features just because it was mismanaged.
Exactly. Like the point that, you know, the illustration that always is associated with Scrum.
Yeah.
Or is that Agile? I think it's Agile.
I think it's Agile, yeah.
It's the skateboard to a scooter? Or step to a bike, like a bicycle, to a motorbike maybe, and then to a car. And they always, like the subline, subtext is like, every step of Agile will lead to something functional, something that has value and that you can actually use and present, something that you can be proud of.
Yeah.
And sure, it won't bring you as fast as a car to your place you want to be, but it will still functional.
Yeah, you're still mobile, I guess. Yeah.
But the thing is, it will feel very like non-functional if you already have a car.
Yeah.
It might be an outdated like 1980s Mustang or whatever. It's like puffing up smoke.
Yeah.
But if you come on
if you have a car.
Yeah, if you have a car and it's still, you know, chugging along.
Yeah. And you don't like the color or something.
Yeah. You just don't like, you know, it needs a facelift, for sure. But you come along and then here, take this, and you get a goddamn skateboard.
Yeah.
Hey, good luck with this. Where do I put all my shit?
Yeah.
Like, sure, I can maybe transport myself if I put in a ton of effort. But I'm sweaty at the end.
Yeah, but you're still mobile.
Yeah, like the main feature of the product works. Yeah. You're moving, you're getting transported.
Yeah.
Doesn't that feel scummy?
It does.
But that's also like what I said before, like the context of where Agile Scrum gets used is just, you know, if you already have a product and you're trying to like give it a facelift and you call an agency, hey, can you work on this for us? We need these features modernized.
Yeah.
And at the end, you come up with, I don't know, a skateboard or a bicycle. All the other features are missing, and you spend all your budget. I don't know. It just doesn't feel like that's okay.
Yeah.
So it's like Agile will not guarantee that you get the end result, what you're going for, what you're shooting for.
Yeah, so you're coming for a car, and you might leave with a scooter.
Yeah.
You don't know. That's a surprise.
Yeah, and that's the subtext, I think. If you spend enough time and energy and money or whatever, you will eventually get there.
Yeah, sure.
To the car.
Maybe it's the best car you've ever driven.
Maybe.
I don't know.
Yeah, but you know, you got to keep iterating.
Yeah, and you don't know if you get there and like how much more money it's going to take. You don't know. It's so many like...
variables.
Unknowns.
So yeah, as you said, like the problem isn't the methodology. It's just when do you use it? How do you use it?
Yeah.
And maybe get a project manager that actually wants to be involved in everything.
Yeah. So I think the management is the biggest issue a lot of times. And with management, I mean like the Scrum Master, the product owner, the project manager, all the...
just decision-making, delegation process.
Yeah. It's not the developers. Mm-hmm. That's like, or the designers for that matter. Like it's, they don't make the decisions, you know, they are not necessarily the ones who, you know, make something bigger than it should be. Like, or they might make something bigger than it should be, but then like
the process should catch it, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's like a Scrum Master or product manager a project manager should like, mm-hmm. you know, step on the brakes and like, hey, you know, you're, mm-hmm. I see you're doing this, but we don't have time for that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, get them back on track. That's the whole point.
Yep. Well.
So, yeah.
What's the takeaway?
The takeaway is, I don't know, I think Scrum and Agile are great and they might work, but not always.
Yeah. And all those reasons we mentioned is why we think, like, it tarnished the name Agile Scrum for me.
Yeah, for me, a lot of times when I get a new project or there's a new client or whatever, and they say, oh, yeah, we do Agile Scrum, mm-hmm. I'm like, oh boy, here we go. Yep. Like, it's always like a burden already. And I'm like, oh no, this is going to be horrible probably.
Yep.
You know, and that's sad because the alternative is also not that great. So,
mm-hmm. Well, I think I rest my case, and I think like there's nothing really negative anymore to me about the topic itself is not something that like triggers negativity inside me. It triggers anxiety a bit.
Yeah.
But mostly it triggers like, I wish it was different. I know what we're going to get.
Yeah.
And there are solutions. And I hope that whoever's listening and using Agile Scrum will actually maybe like, I don't know, go to the project manager and talk to them about like some of the processes, like actually write down all the steps you need per sprint.
Yeah.
Look what's involved. Look what's missing.
Mm-hmm.
Is there risk management involved? How are you prioritizing tickets? Because in the end, it's like, is it a chronology thing? Are you using like the project's tickets to like work from start to end, waterfall style?
Yeah,
you might as well use waterfall.
Yeah, it's probably works fine for you know, your project.
And sell that to the client. Sell that internally. Work waterfall. You'll all be happier.
Yeah.
If you're actually going to be iterative,
mm-hmm.
then make sure the client knows that in the end they might not even get exactly what they want.
Yeah, the project and the client should fit with your methodology, or you adjust your methodology to, mm-hmm. you know,
exactly.
the client and the project. It shouldn't be forcing a client into a specific way of working that doesn't work for them.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
Yeah. I think the big thing is like communication. Wow.
Yeah. It all boils down to communication.
Yeah. Just, you know. Also, don't be afraid like to tell your project manager or, you know, your product owner like, hey, we're currently not doing great, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I think that should be something that's, you know, you should be able to talk about that, because if it's in your way of working, you know, standing in your way, yes.
If it's impeding you.
Yeah, exactly. They should resolve that, not you.
All right. Well, I guess thank you guys for listening.
Yeah.
Hope you enjoy this episode. We were a bit more on the technical management side of things. We mentioned a lot of, words.
We mentioned a lot of words, yeah.
Yeah. But I meant more like jargon as well.
Yeah, yeah.
If you have any questions, let us know. And I guess we'll see you guys another time.
Yeah. Thank you for listening and watching.
Bye-bye.
Good day.